God. Straight the spirit of God. He's ready to go.
So we're not doing matches?
No.
Thank Jim and our winds section for blessing our hearts today, which you'll hear them again here in just a minute. So don't go far, but at any rate, we're glad
you're here.
Good morning.
We're glad to see you at Central Baptist Church in Richmond, North Carolina, and we're trusting and praying
God is going to speak to your heart today in a way that will move you closer to Him. Like I say, we always get a chance to greet someone today in our hopefully coming out of pandemic before too long sort of method. But if you're here in our multi-purpose building, if you're over in our sanctuary, or if you're outside in the cars, if you're sitting on the lawn, look at somebody, give them a smile that says, good morning, and I'm happy to be here, and I'm happy you're here. Give them a wave. Go look at somebody over there now. Good old smile on the face. If you're part of our online community, find you a little way, find you a way to have an opportunity to greet someone. Say hello to Dr. Gant monitoring our online community, and or say hello to somebody else along the way in the feed as well. But we're glad that you have joined us today. We trust that God's going to speak to your heart. He's going to move you closer to Him. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over to the book of Joshua, chapter 17. We're going to be looking at that in just a few moments. But I'm going to go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then you're going to be blessed by our wind ensemble over here again in just a second. So let me lead us in a word of prayer as we begin. Father, as we come to you today, we do so grateful and thankful. Lord, today is such a gorgeous day. The sun is shining, and that's all because of you. Lord, you've given us an opportunity to be able to meet together for the common cause of worship of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, I pray that you will help us today to be able to clear our hearts and minds of anything that would keep us from being able to hear you this morning. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, that you will draw us close to you. I pray that you will draw all men unto you as we lift you up. Father, whatever the need may be, whether it's salvation, Lord, whether it's just to call the wayward home, whatever it is, Father, I pray that you will speak into our hearts and our lives today in such a manner that that we will be obedient to your call. And Father, we will understand repentance and forgiveness and freedom that comes only through Jesus Christ. Today, Lord, may you bless each and every heart. Father, for those that are here, may you give them a blessing. Lord, for those that have tuned in, may you bless them in a very special way today. May they feel your presence in a way they never have before. And Lord, as always, we will be so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for all that you will do. For you are God and we are not, and there's none like you. And Lord, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. It is just to have this opportunity to be able to be together in the midst and worshiping our Lord and Savior. I mentioned a moment ago, if you had your Bible, we're going to be looking at passages out of the book of Joshua in chapter 17 this morning. Now, when we think about Israel, we think about God's chosen people, we think about all of the things that God had done for them, and yeah, it's really easy for us to look at the history of Israel, particularly from the time that the Lord enters the scene and how he's blessed them, how he watched over them, what he wanted for them, realizing that they are God's chosen people, and then to see how Israel and the Jews just completely would mess things up. Now, how many of y'all have ever thought about that and looked at it, and you read through it and you say, these guys just couldn't seem to get it right. They would get it right for a while, and then the Lord would have to get their attention. How many of y'all know what attention getters are? God's got your attention a time or two along the way. Well, it was like this vicious circle with Israel. And we can look at that because we've got the Word. The Word documents how things would be going well. Then they would get goofy. They would start following their own ways or start following false gods. God has to get their attention, brings them back. There's repentance. Along the way, there was punishment for what they had done. Then they come full circle again, and they had this vicious circle. And there are many times I've looked at it and said, how come these people never learned? And then all of a sudden something occurs to me. We are just like them, aren't we? Why don't we ever learn? Now, we know how the passages went. Israel found themselves captive in Egypt. They didn't want that. They had cried out to God. God said he was going to deliver them. And boy, there's a whole lot of history that I'm leaving out, but I'm carrying you all the way back to the very first part. But yeah, he called Moses to go to Pharaoh, let my people go. You know, through the ups and downs of all that, finally they were let go. They were on their way to the promised land, okay, the place that God had prepared for them, the place that flowed with milk and honey, the place that God wanted them to be as his special and chosen people, a very special gift, a very special place to stay where there was not going to be slavery. They would have the freedom of worship, and they could thrive as a nation. So along the way, they came to that place called Kadesh Barnea, where they had the chance to look out into the promised land. And in the midst of doing so, they sent the spies into the land. There was 12 of them. We remember those stories from Sunday school and Bible school. Yeah, 10 of them came back and said, there's no way we can do this. And two of them said, hey, man, we're well able to do this. Remember the reports? There's giants in the land. Man, it's everything God said it was. There's big grapes, all these things. I mean, it is perfect. However, there's giants. They'll whip us. But there were two guys, remember the two fellas, there was Joshua and Caleb, who said, we are well able to do it. And their premise of being well able to do it was simply because this is what God's told us to do. And if God's told us to do it, there shouldn't be anything to hold us back. Do we have that attitude today? If God has told us to do this, then let's not worry about what the mountains that are in front of us look like. Yeah, it doesn't matter how tall they are. It doesn't matter what it is. Too often what happens is we get to the point where we look at the obstacles and we look at the mountains that are in front of us as being bigger than the God that we serve. Joshua and Caleb, 2 out of 12, were the ones that said, we are well able to do this. And it wasn't because they had a superior army. That's not the reason why. The reason they said we are well able to do this is because God has told us this is what he will do for us. Has God not given you and I promises today about what he will do, how he will take care of us? Has he not? Here's your Baptist amen today. If you know God has made us promises, then wave at me. All you bunch of charismatics, I see you. Now, that's perfectly okay. Yeah, God says that. Now, did we just do that because that's what the preacher said? I'm afraid I'm going to be on the stream or something. No. Do we really believe that God is able to do what it is that he has promised he would do for us? Yes, he is. Then here's the thing, folks. We need to start acting like it. You know, it's like that passage where, you know, one of the people in the New Testament that said this. He said, Lord, I believe. Remember the father of the boy. Lord, I believe. Help mine unbelief. See, we look at these things and they seem like they're just towering situations in front of us. But see, that's when we're focused on the fact that our circumstances and situations appear to be bigger than the God of our circumstances and our situations. So that created problems for Israel. You remember, at that particular point, they weren't able to go into the promised land. They had to go into the wilderness, and for 40 years. In fact, it was detrimental to a lot of those who were old enough to know better, because remember what the Lord told them. He said, you're going to roam around in the wilderness until those of you all that should have had enough sense and should have had enough trust in me, until you all are dead. You will drop dead in the wilderness. But your children will have the opportunity to enjoy the land of promise. If you remember, Moses didn't get to go in either. He got to look at it, but he didn't get to go in because of his disobedience. So when it came time to move forward, yeah, God says you all need a leader to push you forward. Moses is gone. He elevates who? Joshua to the position of leadership. It will be you, Joshua. You will lead them into the promised land. Now, did that come with, you know, without circumstances? The answer to that question is no. So, folks, today, I don't understand why it is that often as God's people, we get to a point or we get to a circumstance or a situation, and we feel like God is supposed to make all that stuff go away. Lord, if this is your will, why am I encountering issues? Why am I encountering resistance? Why am I encountering problems? Folks, let me make you this reminder today. God never promised us that he would make all of our storms go away. He never promised us that he would just make our enemies fall down dead in front of us. No, what he promised us was that he would be with us as we traveled through it on the way to being where it is that he wanted us to be. Now, let me make you a promise. If you are on God's path, Satan's going to put obstacles in your way. And all God's people said, amen. You are going to find resistance. You are going to see the mountains. You are going to see the giants. The question is, will they turn you back to Egypt? The question is, will you follow the Lord? Will you trust in the Lord to say, giant, get out of my way? I always love the story that most everybody knows, whether somebody's been a believer, whether they've been in church, whatever the situation may be. There have been people who know this story, the story of David and Goliath, right? You know, if you do the math on it, you're going to find out that Goliath was 9 feet 9 inches tall. We got any 9-foot-niners around here? And not only was he 9'9", he was pretty cut, man. He was a pretty hefty fella. He was a warrior, well known. And then when you make the comparison to David, who was a little shepherd boy, not significant in his family at all. And yet, he was the one, the little shepherd boy David was the one who said, how dare this uncircumcised Philistine challenge the armies of the living God? And folks, I've said this many times. The problem there was that Israel forgot who they were. Now, what does that have to do with you and I? Sometimes I think we forget who we are in God. For you see, remember, it was the little shepherd boy who, with all of the confidence in the world, stood in the face of a 9-foot-9-inch tall giant with nothing but a slingshot, the things that he had and the thing that he knew how to use, and he stood there and said, you going down today. Now, I'm paraphrasing that. That's not in the King James or the New King James. It doesn't read that way, but that's what he said. Today, you're going down. Because I am standing on behalf of God. And I don't care if you're 9'9", 10'9", 12'9", or 29. You're going down. Because my God's bigger than you are. And we know what he said? And I love what it said. The word said this. I'm still trying to get this picture, but it gets you a little bit graphic there. Because it says, and the rock that he threw sunk into the forehead of the giant and took him out. Folks, it is time for us to remember who we are. Part of our reason is that we've got an entitlement mindset. We've picked that up from the world. And for some odd reason, we feel like God owes us something. Now, what does that have to do with the Scripture? Yes, I am getting there. Y'all, just bear with me. I am getting to the Scripture. Because what happens is, as Joshua has led the children of Israel into the promised land, it didn't say, once again, that God was just going to make all the enemies fall down, although there were times that he did. If you remember Jericho, Jericho had to be conquered, and it had to be a battle that was taken forth. Now, God pretty much did make Jericho just fall down around him, didn't he? But they had to be courageous enough and obedient enough to do what God told them to do, as crazy as it sounded. God ever told you to do some crazy things or some things that sounded crazy to you? Did you do them? You know, when it's all over with and you're standing there and God has shown up in your situation, isn't that kind of cool? You're like, whoa, never would have guessed this one. Never would have thought this would have gone this way. And here's the reason why, because you trusted him. Now, When we get over to this particular passage we're going to look at today, it comes to the point where the land, the promised land, is being divided out among those who were of the tribes of Israel. And I want us to, let's just pick it up at Joshua chapter 17. Let's go to verse 14. Joshua 17, 14 says this. It says, "Then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, saying, 'Why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit, since we are a great people, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now?' So Joshua answered them, 'If you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you.'" Verse 16, "But the children of Joseph said, 'The mountain country is not enough for us. And all the Canaanites who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and the towns, and those who are the valley of Jezreel.'" Verse 17, "And Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, to Ephraim and Manasseh, saying, 'You are a great people and have great power. You shall not have only one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong." Let's pray. Father, your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Today, Father, as we look into and as we open your word, I pray that you will open our hearts to what it is that you want to say to us. Lord, move us in your direction. Use this, your servant, that you and you alone and you only would be exalted and lifted up. And Lord, we do pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we are looking at these passages, we see a kind of an interesting situation. Now, to put it into context, we need to go back just a couple of verses and see something that is extremely important. Step back up to verse 12 of that particular passage. It says, "And the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land." Now, here's what we need to know when it comes down to our history. God had told Israel that when they went places, they were to utterly destroy completely the Canaanites. You don't leave them around. You don't leave them to be a part of what is taking place. You don't leave them as a part of what is going on. God said that the problem with that, and people are always asking me, they say, "Well, why do you think God did that? Why do you think that God would say to completely and utterly destroy the people?" And here's the reason why. Because they were bad influences. They were influences that would pull Israel away from God. And it was over and over and over and over again that we saw that. You know, people would say, "Well, what would be a good comparison to today?" It's kind of like what the Lord told us when he said a non-believer should not be in a marriage union with a believer. Believers and non-believers shouldn't get married. If you know that going in, let me give you a piece of advice. Don't do it. The Word tells us not to do that. Now, why is it? Because often, if you will see what happened when God allowed Israel to coexist with certain other groups, and it wasn't because God was prejudiced, it wasn't a racial thing, it was a sin thing. Now, let me just say this right up front. The thing that we're dealing with today is a sin thing. Across our society, across our country, you can call it all kinds of crazy little things, but the bottom line is it's sin. That's what it is. And God said, the problem is if I allow you all to stay there together, you're not going to be the influence on them that you should be. You're going to give in to the influence that they are on you. That's what he's saying. Not only did he say it, it was proven over and over in his word, wasn't it? God said, you don't allow the Canaanites to stay there. So when you have to go in there and conquer land, guess who's got to go? Guess who's got to get destroyed? It's the Canaanite people. Now remember, look at verse 12 with me once again. And it says, and yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities, but the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. They were determined. I ain't leaving. Staying right here. So what did Israel do? Let them stay. What was God's order? They got to go. So right there, they're already starting to tweak what was taking place and what was going on. Verse 13 says, and it happened when the children of Israel grew strong that they put the Canaanites to forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out like they were supposed to do. Verse 13 mentions it again. They were supposed to drive them out, and yet that didn't happen. Folks, it's like cancer. If you leave a little bit, it's going to come back with a vengeance, doesn't it? What is it that the Lord said? A little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And he says, in that verse 13, it says that the children of Israel grew strong, but they still allowed the Canaanites to be around. And then what they did was they did something for their own purpose. You see, there were two things that they did. You know, they kept company with the Canaanites, but there were two different types of Canaanites that you see in this particular passage. The first type was there were those that they favored. People that the Canaanites that they liked. What were the Canaanites they liked? The ones that they used as slaves. The Canaanites that they enjoyed being around were the ones that were slaves to them that they could use to serve them. But then there were other Canaanites that they did not like. But the reason they didn't like them is because they feared them. Drop down to verse 16 for a minute. It says, But the children of Joseph said, the mountain country is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites, there they are again, who dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron, both those who are of Beth Shean and the towns and those who are of the valley of Jezreel. They were afraid of them. That's the reason why they didn't like them. The ones we like, the ones that will serve us and be our slaves, we like them. But those over there, those that can cause some resistance for us, we don't really care for them, but we're afraid of them. That's essentially what it boiled down to. Now, there was a tragedy that emerges out of this particular passage that starts off in verse 14. Because in verse 14 it says, then the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua saying, why have you given us only one lot and one share to inherit? One share to inherit, since we are a great people inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now. Do you understand what that is? You understand what was being said there? They went and said, I don't think you're being fair to us. You ever had that before? Have you ever really done something for somebody? And I know every one of you here, every one of you listening, wherever you are, you've done this before. You have done something out of the kindness of your heart. You have tried to do something to make somebody's life better at your own expense. Something that you didn't have to do, something that wasn't required, and somebody was so ungrateful that they came up and said, my portion's not as big as theirs. How many of y'all have ever had that happen? What went through your mind? Why, you ungrateful little, but you see if I ever do this again. You try to, see, remember what I said a moment ago? I believe that there's this entitlement mindset that we have. And the entitlement mindset isn't just on the things of our lives on a daily basis. That entitlement mindset even goes to our spiritual walk. We feel like for some odd reason that God owes us something. Listen, God don't owe you anything. You know, we look at all the time, people say, well, I'll tell you what, God's just not fair. Listen, God created fair. And God is sovereign. And in his sovereignty, you know, remember how we've said we define that? That God can do whatever he wants, anytime he wants, to any person that he wants to, and be justified in doing it. That's God. Can God make the enemies fall down in front of us? Yes, he can. But you see, I think that God has told his people for a long time, there is some things. I have expectations of you. I expect some things of my children. Do you expect things of your children? That might not be a good question to ask in our society today. You should. See, I still remember times when I was growing up, if I wanted a new ball glove, that was an hour drive, 20 miles over the mountains to get to a place to get it. And it wasn't that my mom and dad were hateful to me, but you know what? I had to work for it. People would sit back at times at me and say, do you get an allowance? I said, sure, I'm allowed to eat, I'm allowed to live, I'm allowed to have clothing. That was my allowance. My mom and dad took care of me, but they didn't owe me anything. But guess what else they taught me? They also taught me that if there was something that I wanted, then I needed to work for it because I would appreciate it much more. Folks, I think that God wants it. He expects things of us. God expects us to gather together in worship. God expects us to give back to Him. God expects us to walk and talk like one of His children. Are you meeting the expectations that God has for you and I as we go forward? Now, for all of us, we probably just had this Holy Spirit reality call in our lives. God has an expectation of you. Are we meeting that expectation? Not only that, this tribe goes to him and says in verse 14, you only gave us one piece of land. Now, read on. Let's get to the end of that verse. And it says, inasmuch as the Lord has blessed us until now, God's been good to us all the way up till now because we don't have enough land. We don't have what we want. We don't have what we need. Folks, let me tell you something that will paralyze you in your spiritual walk, and it is one of the sins that's been prevalent since the time of heaven and the time of Lucifer, and that is pride. What's your pride saying to you? Is your pride paralyzing you when it comes down to your walk? Let me tell you what I'm talking about. See, I know people that pride kept them from coming to know the Lord for decades. And decades. Why? Oh, Lord, I don't want to go up there and talk to that preacher. Listen, I'm a deacon in the church, and if I get saved today, people are going to wonder what's going on. Listen, I would rather people wonder what's going on than you die and go to hell simply because you don't have your spiritual act together with the Lord. Wouldn't you? This is all temporal. Hell is eternal, and so is heaven. Oh, Lord, the preacher said that H word. We can't preach on that. That's just bad stuff. Yeah, folks, let me just go ahead and put it out there. There is a heaven and there is a hell, and you are going to one or the other whether you like it or not, period. If you choose Jesus, you'll spend eternity with him. If you decide that this life is more worth you getting gain and whatnot, then you will spend an eternity in hell. Listen, when you die, it's not over with. Saved, unsaved, born again, or not born again, you are going to continue to thrive throughout all of eternity in either heaven or hell. That's pretty easy. That's theology 101, isn't it? But see, some people don't believe that. They make light of it. They make fun of it. This tribe says, well, God's been good to us up until now. How many times have we prayed that prayer in our life? We give God this. You ready? I mean, because listen, I'm sorry if you're listening, but you don't have a chance to see because a picture's worth 1,000 words today. We look at God sometimes, and here's what we do. We go. Now, for those of you who can't see that and you didn't hear anything, it's the arms folded across the chest pout. That's what that is. God wasn't fair to me. Why did God give this one that? Why did God do this? Why is it? The Lord, you've been fair with me up until now. God's been good to me up until now. Oh, so all of God's goodness goes away because you don't get your way. No. But Joshua gave him an answer in verse 15. The answer that he gave him says, if, I like this too. That's a conditional statement. Do you notice that? If, verse 15, you are a great people, then go up to the forest country and clear a place for yourself there in the land of the Perizzites and the giants, since the mountains of Ephraim are too confined for you. You see, here's the problem. Joshua said, okay, if you're what you say you are, if that's what you think, and you think so highly of yourself, you can have some more land. Go up to the mountain country and clear it out. You can have all of it that you want up there. But see, that's not what people want, is it? See, that's not what we want either. We want God to make it easy for us. We live in a society of comfort, don't we? Remember, I've said it a bunch of times, and I'll keep saying it. They didn't name that chair a worker boy. When you go home this afternoon and you get in that thing and you pull that lever up, the name of that chair is a what? Lazy boy. It's appropriately named. It's not a worker boy, it's a lazy boy. We are designed, we want comfort, we want somebody to do it all for us. The generation alive today wants somebody to do everything for us, and we don't want to put forth effort for anything. Now listen, if that's not you, don't get mad at me. If it is you, go ahead and get mad at me. Because if the shoe fits, wear it. We are a lazy generation. How many times? Let me give you an example. Hey, listen, brother. I got some firewood. Would you like some firewood? Oh, yeah, man, I'll take it. Well, good. Bring your chainsaw. Come on over to the house, and we'll cut it up, and I'll load it up for you. Now, when you get home, you'll have to split it. Oh, I don't want that wood no more. No, see, I thought you were going to cut it up for me. I thought you were going to split it in logs the size that would fit nicely in my fireplace. Then I thought you were going to load it. Then I thought you were going to bring it to my house. Then I thought you were going to unload it. Then I thought you were going to bring it inside so that all I would have to do when it came time for me to build a fire was go, ah. See, if I have to do that, you keep your wood. I don't want it. Folks, listen. Notice what the Lord does. The Lord told them, go up there. That's where, listen, there's going to be giants there. You know what that meant? That means you are going to have to take that piece of property. No. Yeah. Well, what's wrong with that piece of land down there that's clear? What's wrong with that piece of land that's flat? What's wrong with that piece of land that's got the river running through it? What's wrong with that piece of land that's got the picture-perfect view that if an artist was painting, they would love to paint that particular thing? That's what I want. Don't give me that mountain country. Man, saw it is not good for my hands. Now, how is all that relevant to you and I today? Because I believe with all my heart that's where we've gotten as the people of God in 2021. We want God to hand it all to us. We want to sit back and let somebody else do it. God never called us to luxury and comfort. God called us to work, for the night is coming when no man can work anymore. Listen, when we enter heaven, we should be tired. We should be dirty. We should be beat up. Some of y'all are sitting there going, I don't know if I like it. It's a Christianity thing. No, but you know what? That's the facts. Because if you are a child of the King and you are walking in the ways of our God, that's what's going to happen to you. But we've gotten to the point where we say, oh, no, man, listen, if you ain't going to cut that firewood, you just keep it. You know what God told? God told us that we were to go and make disciples. Remember I said a minute ago, he has expectations of his children. How are you doing that? How are you accomplishing that today? Oh, no, how you accomplish it? Well, preacher, we've been in this pandemic. Did God's goodness stop on you last March? Did God's blessing on you stop last March? Did God's provision for you stop last March? Did God say, you know what, Roy, I'd love to help you out, but there's this pandemic on. I am so sick and tired of hearing that used as an excuse. I ordered this package a month ago. Where is it? Well, it's a pandemic. Isn't it? Where's the cough syrup? Well, the pandemic. I need some nasal spray. Well, it's the pandemic. Man, look, I'm sneezing. It's got to be the pandemic. I mean, am I right? The pandemic has become this greatest excuse of America to be lazy and not to do anything. Where you been? Well, it's the pandemic. I can't go to work. Why not? Well, we got this pandemic going on. Everything. Folks, listen, it's time to get through the pandemic. Now, don't get me wrong, and I know, listen, I'll probably get email and everything else today. Well, the preacher don't believe in that. No, I do. I get it. I know it's real. I've seen it take loved ones in my life away from this earth. But also know this, that my God is able to protect us far greater than any vaccine or anything else. I'm not against the vaccine. But here's what I know. Let me tell you what I know, and this is what I love today. Right now, here's what I can promise you. Right now, I am 50 feet tall and bulletproof until God is done with me. There ain't nothing going to take me off this planet 1 second before God says so. Now, let me tell you, on the other side of that, there's nothing that's going to keep me on this planet 1 second longer than God has anticipated either. And I don't sit back all day worrying about what day that's going to be. I don't. Oh, Lord, preacher, you're getting in controversial territory. I'm just never coming back again. Folks, listen, we've got to face the truth. God wants to use the pandemic in your life. Satan does too. Which one's winning? We can emerge from this thing better, stronger than we've ever been. Or we can sit back and ride this excuse for a long way. Any of y'all ever have, and I won't call names because Dave knows what I'm talking about, and I love because David described it, but you ever had somebody really work something, maybe a family, child or something like that? I still remember a child that had like a problem, a surgery on an elbow or something like that, and that little sling got a lot of attention. And then, of course, you know what happened was after time, you know, doctors are like, oh, yeah, everything's back to normal. You know, you'd see them out there running and playing and doing all this, and then somebody would come around. Sometimes we work it, don't we? Sometimes we push it beyond what we should. Ow. Yeah. Oh, my arm. Oh, the pandemic. Oh, folks, listen. Time for us to get up and get moving. It is time for us to start moving. Now, does that mean it's going to look like it did before? Absolutely not. I don't think it's ever going to look like it did before, but I'm thanking God that it doesn't. I think that God has shaken every tree of every church across this world to say, it is time for you to start doing my work my way instead of your way. What does that look like? Are you ready for this? I don't know. But that's what we're praying for. That's what we're praying about. And I believe God. Here's what I believe. I believe that the God who said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. And he says, I will give to you abundantly. We're asking. But it is time for us to get moving. There is a tragedy in pride that paralyzes us in the same fashion here. Now, let me kind of finish this up by looking down here at verse 17. Verse 17 says, and Joshua spoke to the house of Joseph, Ephraim, and Manasseh, saying, you are a great people and have great power. You shall not only have one lot, but the mountain country shall be yours. Although it is wooded, you shall cut it down, and its furthest extent shall be yours, for you shall drive out the Canaanites, though they have iron chariots and are strong. He said they were going to have to do something first. That land's going to be yours. Remember what he said they're going to have to do first? First of all, they were going to have to drive out the Canaanites. Was that a new marching order for them? No. By the way, if you go back a few chapters, one of the things that you're going to find out is that there are several different places where it says, and they failed to drive out the Canaanites. Going back to the original thing God told them. Yes, this is what you got, but you're going to have to drive them out. Oh, man, come on, God. Why can't we just go up there? Listen, we're already going to have to cut down the trees. We're already going to have to clear the land. Not only do we have to clear the land, now we got to fight the Canaanites. Come on, God, you are not being fair. How many times do we do that in our life? Now, you know what we usually do? Well, God, you keep your hill country. You forget it. I'm just going to go away mad. I'm just going to go away with an attitude towards you because, look, you're not being fair to me. Not only do we have to cut the woods down, look, why did you give them all that plush country over there? Why did you give them the one that the stream runs through? And we got to cut trees down. Not only do we have to cut trees down, we got to run them pesky Canaanites out of here. Isn't that what we do? Isn't that how we act? Isn't that how we react along the way? There were two things in verse 18 that God told them to do. The first thing was that they had to clear the forest. And you know what that means? That means this. There's plenty of room. You need to clear the forest. And you know what that meant? That meant you've got to get rid of the clutter. Look at this. Boy, this is a beautiful. You may have gone out before if you've ever been in a situation or a position and you look and you can picture this beautiful home being built right there, but it's got trees and stuff on it. Maybe you've been in that situation before. You're like, I can picture it now. House sitting right here facing this way. You know, that's over the east and here's the west. And boy, this is going to look great. Yeah, I can see it in my mind. I can picture it. Ooh-wee. It's going to be a good one. Well, you know what? Before the house goes up, you got to get the trees down. Oh, I don't want it anymore. Nope, don't want it anymore. He told them this. Now here is the application for you and I today. Here's what God basically told them. God basically told them that you got to clear the forest because there's plenty of room. Now, let me mention this to you as God's people today. We've got a lot of clutter in our lives, don't we? How many of you will admit that you have clutter in your home, in your garage? How many of you today, remember, confession's good for the soul. How many of you today say, I wish I could park my car in the garage, but it's a storage building right now? How many of you, when you walk through certain areas, now you're good, you don't want anyone else to see it, so you've got your own little room, you know, that when you go into it, you're like, excuse me, I'll be right back, I got to go get something. You open the door and you go through it like this. It's clutter. And somebody that loves you has come in and said, how do you find anything in here? Listen, next week I'm going to call the dumpster people. I'm going to have them park a dumpster out here, and we need to go through this stuff. You've got to get rid of the clutter in your life. You see, you can't enjoy the room if you can't see it. You can't enjoy the room if you can't get into it. Folks, our lives are that way. It is so cluttered with stuff of the world that God doesn't have room to function. God told them, go cut down the trees, get rid of the clutter. And God is telling you and I today, it is time to declutter our hearts. It is time to declutter our lives. It is time to walk in with a refreshing view and go, thank you, Lord. And you know what happens, and you've done this before, every one of us have done this. Proof positive. Here you go. How many of y'all have a junk drawer? Everybody's got a junk. How many of you have a junk drawer? It ain't got nothing in it but odds and ends and junk. Okay. How many of you have ever gone through and decluttered your junk drawer? When it was all over with, guess what? You still had a junk drawer, didn't you? You just got, most of the time you did it because you needed to put more junk in it, so you were trying to determine which junk had the most value. So you threw away the junk that was less valuable to keep the junk that you felt was more valuable. Right? Isn't that what we do? And then when you get done, you shut the drawer with satisfaction like you've done something. Now, you've had some people in your life that when you say, oh, I'll tell you what, I'm going to declutter my junk drawer today. And they go, well, here, let me help. They just jerk a drawer out and dump it over in the trash can. And you go, no! And then you're going through the trash, picking stuff back out of it. Folks, God's jerking your drawer out today and wants to dump it in the garbage. He says, we need a clean start. Stop being a spiritual hoarder. Declutter your life. You see, because if we're too busy maneuvering around the things of our lives, God can't fully work. Because I will make you a promise that if you can only get through like this, the place God wants you to be is the place you can't get to without work, without crawling over something, without moving something. I've done some home inspections in my day. And you know what I do? The first thing I do when I get in one of those crawl spaces is I find the place I don't want to go. You know why I find the place I don't want to go? Because right there's where all the problems are going to be. And in 20-some years, that's never let me down. I go under there, I'm on my belly with a flashlight going, which place do I really not want to go? Which place is creepy? Which place has spiders and snakes? Oh, there it is. That's where I need to go. And inevitably, that's where I'll find all the goodies. God told them, you need to declutter. Get rid of the trees. We need to declutter our lives. We need to declutter the things that we're holding on to that are keeping us from being what God wants us to be. So that was the first thing he told them. It's the first thing he tells us. Declutter. The second thing he told them in verse 18 was to remove the things that corrupted their lives. Remember what he said? He said, you all need to drive out the Canaanites. What are the things that are corrupting our lives? Often it's the things that we know, we've seen, we've identified. Sometimes we live in denial when it comes down to those things. Sometimes we don't want to acknowledge them. But God and the Holy Spirit point them out to us continually. Lord, I'm not ready for that yet. I'm not ready to do that. That's just your way of saying, I'm not going to do that. What's God's word for us today? Okay, I'm going to give you this, and then I'm going to shut it down. He gives us the same message today that he was giving Israel back when they were dividing up the property. He said this, folks, it's time for you to declutter your life. And it is time for you to drive out the things that are corrupting. Now, we can't do that in and of ourselves. Only God can do that. But we've got to be willing to hand them over to him. The things that are corrupting us. And some of you, the Holy Spirit just told you what that was, just like that. You know, you knew it before that. Because you know the things that you're trying to hold on to that are not of God, that are keeping you from being what God wants you to be. Some of us are still holding on to excuses. Well, my driveway got dirty. Well, it must be the pandemic. We'll find something to blame something on, whether it's applicable or not. God says, it is time for you to start to declutter your life, starting right now. And he says, and to do that, you need to drive out the things that are keeping you from being what I need for you to be. Remember, that's what he told them. Clear the land and drive out the Canaanites. Pretty quick and simple message, isn't it? How many of us just heard God's quick and simple message in our lives, but it's not the first time. I think it's the first time we've heard it. Get the mess out of your life. Get away, drive the corruption away. Through me. He says, only I'm the one who can do that. You can't do it, but you've got to be willing to give it up. You got to quit hanging on to excuses. You got to start moving forward. You know what they say? The definition of insanity is to continue to do the same thing over and over again and expect different results. Every one of us in here, everybody within the sound of my voice, you have tried and you have failed at certain things. And you went back and you keep on trying. You're like, well, why can't I get this? Well, here's the reason why. You can't. Only God can. And you've got to turn it over to him. Clear the clutter. Drive out the Canaanites. Folks, our country needs to start calling sin, sin again. We need to stop coming up with flowery names of things. It's sin. You can't say that. Yes, I can. Because that's exactly what God said to do. Call it sin. There's coming a day where there will be persecution. more so than what you see now. Listen, it's happening around the globe. It's just not right here because, thank God, we live in America. But it's getting awful goofy, isn't it? Sin is sin, and we need to be unapologetic about it. That doesn't mean that we're hateful people. I've told people before, I said, you know what, I can certainly love the sinner and hate the sin. That's what God called us to do. I can love a person and not love what they do. And so can you. But for some odd reason in our society today, it's figured out, well, if you don't like what I'm doing, then I have to hate you and you have to hate me. That is not biblical. Shouldn't be that way. It's time to clear the land, declutter, drive out the Canaanites, get rid of the things that are hindering you. I'm going to ask our band, if they would, to take their place, because here are the two questions that I have for you this morning. First of all, have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I didn't ask you, you know, I don't know why it is, but everybody thinks that being a Christian is about the things that you can do. They think it's about going to church. They think it's about teaching Sunday school. And I've said it before, they think that it's a scale of balances, and this is the good and this is the bad. And if the good outweighs the bad, then I'm going to heaven. That's not what God said the way to heaven is. He said there is no other way to heaven given among men whereby we must be saved other than Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. And folks, that is the key to heaven. You can be the best church person in the world and go to hell if you don't trust Jesus Christ with your life. If you don't ask forgiveness of your sins through repentance and trusting that God is who He said He is and that He has accomplished what He said He could accomplish through His only begotten Son on Calvary's cross. That's the difference. Now here, you don't have to listen to me. I don't have to be a great orator because the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. Is the Holy Spirit telling you that you need salvation today? Okay, if He is, here's what you need to do. Just very simply, you can just go to the Lord in prayer where you are and say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name. And listen, if you did that, I know it's simple. People say, well, I just don't believe in that because people hang their confidence on a prayer. Listen, prayer is communication with God. If you ask God to save your soul and forgive your sin and meant it, not just today, because I've said this, this is another message for a different day, but Jesus in your life should change your life. You can't do the things you used to do and be okay with it. He'll change you. If you really meant it, He's changed your life. Now, if you did that, please let us know. We want to help you. We want to help disciple you. See, that's where we mess up so many times as a church, where we slap people on the back, get them through the through baptism, and then we just let them go. We don't disciple them at all. We want to help you with that. Listen, if you've trusted Christ, please, if you're here on site, let me know today. If you're on our online community, let Dr. Gant know. Give us an address. Give us a way that we can get some resources in your hand and help you to grow in God's grace. That's what we want to do. We want to celebrate with you. Well, there's rejoicing of the saints in heaven. I can almost hear them. Listen, maybe you're here today and you've been riding the wave. You've been a little lazy. And now God has, He mentioned it to you before the pandemic, but we've used the pandemic as an excuse to be lazy spiritually. I'm not just talking about service. I'm talking about even in our walk. Have we been lazy spiritually? Listen, if you haven't, great. God's going to give you an attaboy. But if you have been, God's given you some conviction in your heart right now that you need to turn back to Him, that you need to declutter, that you need to drive out the Canaanites, and you need to become what God wants you to be. You're one of His children. It's time to start acting like it. You represent God. How many times did you ever have a teacher or somebody in your life come to you and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, you certainly aren't acting like, I know your parents and I know how you were raised and you're certainly not acting like it. Anybody ever have somebody tell you that? I expect more of you. I know you were raised better than that. Well, okay. Where are we with the Lord? time to start moving forward. So if that's you, just simply where you are, just say, Lord, look, I know I'm messed up. I can't change that. But thank you that you don't ask me to. Father, I'm repenting. I'm coming back to you. Help me declutter. Help me drive out the Canaanites of my life, that I can be all that you want me to be. Lord, you have forgiven my sin. It's covered with the blood of the Lamb. I have been washed white as snow. So today is a new day. Help me live for you today better than I ever have. And I can only do that through your help and your power. Bless me, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, if you did that, then I can promise you that God has forgiven your sins. He's thrown them as far as the east is from the west, the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered again. But that means only if you have repented, turned away from it, and are coming back to Him. Did you do that? Listen, this is the moment that we're going to spend these few moments with our Lord and Savior. Whatever decision God has put on your heart, listen, if He didn't give you a shoe that fit today, you need to thank God. Maybe He blessed your heart today. Whatever it may have been, He did something for you today. If you're right with Him, then I'm going to ask Christians right now to be praying for those around them while they make decisions in prayer. If that's you, whatever it may be, give it to the Lord right now. As our heads are bowed, as our eyes are closed, as our band plays, you do business with God. And I'll be back to dismiss us in just a moment. Amen. God is good, and all the time, God is good. Let me give you this, just a couple quick things, and then we'll get us out of here in prayer. But don't forget, in just a few minutes, we do have a call conference, a presentation from our finance team. Just to let folks know, we will not be broadcasting that on our live stream. It will take place here in this building. If you are in the sanctuary, you're all right to be able to stay in the sanctuary. You will still have the audio feed there. If you're outside in vehicles, you will still have the feed by radio. If you're on the lawn, you will not have a feed. You might need to make your way into either our multi-purpose building or our sanctuary so that you will have an opportunity to be able to hear. The reason our audio comes from our live stream for our outside folks, and we won't be live streaming our church called conference here in just a few moments. It's just for the specific purpose of a vote. It will be a written ballot vote. We'll give those to you in a minute. It's a yes-no vote, and we'll be going to conference in just a few moments after we're dismissed. As a reminder, we're continuing the month of April with our prayer and fasting emphasis coming up. Is going to be this week. Right now we're working on unity and connection with believers. That was kind of our a prayer assignment for this week. But coming into this Thursday, it will be renewing commitment to the Great Commission. These are things that we need to be praying about as individuals as well as a church as we begin to go forward. Don't forget, we've asked you to fast. Now, don't go crazy with that, but go a little bit crazy with it as far as doing it. It's a spiritual discipline that is still around. I do a food fast. We've talked about other different kinds of fasts. I do a food fast, particularly on the day of prayer, which is Thursday. Don't forget, the church is open 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. On Thursdays for you to come by. And that's not that you come from 6 to 9. That's you come, spend your time in prayer, and you go. Our deacons will be there. They will give you some information that we have prepared for you to be able to use as you pray through that week. And then the church is also open from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. For those of you who are not morning people, but come by, take that time to come by the Lord's house and spend that special appointment time with Him in prayer, praying for some very specific and particular things. Don't forget, this evening, leadership team meeting will be a virtual team meeting, 4 o'clock. Awana tonight, youth, 5:30 to 6. Everybody else, 6 o'clock p.m. right here in the Multipurpose Center. We've got our first annual Central Baptist Church Open golf tournament. It's a fellowship tournament. It's a 4-man captain's choice. It's going to be on May the 1st at Forest Oaks. If you got a team, fill out one of these forms. Let us know. Quit being Baptist. Y'all going to wait till the last minute. We got to know how many to prepare for because it's got a meal. We've got some other things going along. Go ahead and get these in. Next Sunday is the deadline for the registration forms. But if you can get them in quicker, that would be great. Also, as we go through this coming week, don't forget to wish these folks a happy birthday. Millie Bailiff, Monday. Keely Price, a birthday on Wednesday. Dan Wagner on Friday. And Tammy Bowman on Saturday. So be sure to give them some happy birthdays. And then a special wedding anniversary on Tuesday. Mike and Kay Harrell will be celebrating their anniversary. So keep those folks in your prayers. If you get a chance, send them a card, give them a hug, shake a hand, do whatever, and let them know that we truly love them. Is there anything I've forgotten? I'm sure there's probably something I've forgotten. Okay, if not, don't forget, offering boxes are here for this building, multipurpose building, on the way out. You can drop your tithe and offering there. If you're in the sanctuary, you can drop your offering in the plates up at the front of the sanctuary. If you're viewing online, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. That will really help our ministry continue to be able to go forward and get the Word of God out. So, give us just a few minutes after I pray, and then David Bowman will come up and begin our conference. We won't keep you long. It is only one item. That's what a called conference is about. So bear with us. We will get ballots out. I'll ask you in just a moment. If you don't have one, we'll get you your little yes-no ballot so that you can vote, because it will be a written ballot, okay? Let me pray with us, and then we'll head into our church conference momentarily. Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We thank you for the fact that you don't leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, we're also thankful that you still ask some things of us. We're your children, and you asked us to serve and to be your children. Lord, help us to get rid of the entitlement mindset. Father, help us to understand that you have provided so much for us, but there are times when you ask us to go clear the land, that your work, that your word may be able to go forward. Father, help us today to heed the Holy Spirit's movement in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, we'll be careful to praise you for it as we ask it in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask too that you'd help us as we enter this time of church conference to do your business your way. Give us leadership and guidance as we do so, as we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Folks, God bless you. We'll start our conference here in just a minute as soon as we get a few microphones turned on, and we won't keep you long.